Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Christy Clayton. Today's episode is about a pharmacokinetic study looking at the complexities of drug doses using different routes of administration. Pain is an unfortunate yet natural and necessary part of the human experience. We need it to save ourselves from being injured through rapid reaction. If you do end up getting injured, ongoing pain is necessary to remind you to guard a wound while it's still healing. But does it really need to be so, well, painful? Of course not. That's where medication comes in. Thankfully, we're in a day and age where the right medication can take that pain away. With so many options for pain medications, and also the possibility of taking them via different routes, like IV or swallowing a pill, doctors need to have reliable information guiding their prescribing habits. Today, we'll start by looking at the medications used to treat pain. We will then address the complexities of drug dosing using principles of pharmacokinetics. Finally, we'll tie this all together by looking at a study on intravenous and oral ibuprofen and tramadol fixed-dose combinations, FDCs, at different doses. There are a few different medications that help us to alleviate pain. Non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, or NSAIDs, like ibuprofen, acetaminophen, glucocorticoids like prednisone, opioid analgesics like morphine, and atypical opioid analgesics like tramadol. All of these classes of medications have unwanted effects. NSAIDs can cause gastrointestinal upset, increased blood pressure, and gastrointestinal ulceration. Acetaminophen is generally very well tolerated, but can cause liver toxicity at high doses. Glucocorticoids can cause weight gain, mood changes, insomnia, and adrenal suppression. Morphine can cause constipation, sedation, respiratory depression, and dependence or addiction. Tramadol can cause nausea, vomiting, dizziness, seizures, and respiratory depression. All of these effects have a dose-dependent relationship. This means that these effects are more likely to occur the higher the dose is. This is why, if the pain persists, it's better to add a medication that acts on a different physiological pathway rather than to keep increasing the dose of the one that you are on. Another bonus of combination pain management is that you can achieve pain management with lower than normal doses. But why take two different tablets when you can take one? There are plenty of fixed-dose combination, or FDC, pain medications available. FDC means that the two medications are in the same tablet or any other formulation in a fixed ratio. This is also useful because, like I just said, you won't always have to take the normal or full dose, so the FDC can contain lower doses of each medication and will therefore produce fewer side effects. Let us follow the story of a patient called Mrs. Bradshaw. Mrs. Bradshaw has just had a hysterectomy and is in the hospital after her surgery. The doctor has stopped giving her morphine and she is taking tramadol and acetaminophen in tablet form. She is still experiencing pain on these tablets and has vomited up one of the doses. She will now be changed to IV medication instead. Mrs. Bradshaw is happy to hear that she will be changed to IV medications because she says they will work immediately, while oral medications take a while to kick in. The doctor wants to try replacing acetaminophen with ibuprofen for increased pain management. There are no IV FDCs of ibuprofen and tramadol. Should the doctor give Mrs. Bradshaw the normal oral dose of these medications on the new IV prescription? That's something the authors of today's paper set out to investigate through a pharmacokinetic study. How fixed doses of ibuprofen and tramadol would behave in an IV FDC compared to an oral FDC. Pharmacokinetics, or PK, is what the body does to the drug in terms of absorption, distribution to different tissues, metabolism, and excretion. Some of the PK properties measured in the study are the following: Cmax, the maximum concentration reached in the blood; Tmax, the time to reach Cmax; half-life, the amount of time it takes for the concentration of a drug in the bloodstream to drop by half; AUC, or area under the concentration time curve, representing total drug exposure or how much of the medication made it into the bloodstream. This is used to measure oral bioavailability, which is the percentage of an oral dose that reaches systemic circulation. The relevance of determining AUC is that medications that have a low oral bioavailability would need to have reduced IV dosing recommendations. All of the medication makes it into circulation if it is given IV, leading to higher concentrations with a higher chance of unwanted side effects. For example, if a medication has a 20% oral bioavailability, you would only need to give 20% of the normal dose via the IV route. This means that switching medications from oral to IV doses usually requires a dose reduction. Mrs. Bradshaw would therefore need lower doses of tramadol and ibuprofen if her prescription were rewritten as an IV dose. Lower oral bioavailability can be a result of something called the first-pass effect. The circulatory system moves blood from the stomach straight to the liver, where the majority of medications are metabolized, so that they can be excreted by the body. Medications absorbed from the stomach would likely be metabolized before reaching the intended destination. Giving a medication IV puts it into circulation before it reaches the liver. The first pass effect is the reason why morphine is not usually given orally. Super interesting, right? To add another complication to dosing considerations, there are pharmaceutical chemistry and metabolic aspects of ibuprofen and tramadol that impact the PK properties. Both ibuprofen and tramadol have enantiomers, and tramadol has an active metabolite. But what does that mean? An enantiomer is one of two mirror image versions of a molecule. In biology and medicine, this matters because the body can tell the difference, just like a left glove doesn't fit on a right hand. Sometimes only one enantiomer is active or works better. The other enantiomer may be less effective, inactive, or even cause side effects. Ibuprofen has two enantiomers. S-positive ibuprofen is the active pain reliever. R-negative ibuprofen is less active but can convert to the S form in the body. Tramadol also has two enantiomers. R-positive tramadol, which binds weakly to mu receptors producing mild pain relief. This enantiomer also gets metabolized to O-desmethyltramadol, or M1, by the liver. M1 is a much stronger mu opioid agonist and provides stronger pain relief. S-negative tramadol, on the other hand, does not act significantly on mu receptors. Instead, it blocks the uptake of serotonin and norepinephrine, making these neurotransmitters act for longer on descending pain pathways. Hopefully, you're starting to get an idea of why PK studies are so important. What might appear to be two medications, ibuprofen and tramadol, ends up being more like five medications when you consider the enantiomers and the metabolites. Now that we have some pharmacology background, let's get into the study. This was a randomized, open-label, five-period crossover trial in healthy adult volunteers. Crossover means each of the 12 participants, 7 men and 5 women, received 5 different single-dose treatments, one in each study period, with a washout interval in between to clear the previous dose. The treatments were as follows. Oral reference dose, ibuprofen 400 mg plus tramadol hydrochloride 37.5 mg, given as granules dissolved for oral solution. This served as the reference comparator. IV doses, or test formulations, ibuprofen 400 mg plus tramadol hydrochloride at 4 different low strengths. 30 milligrams, 31.5 milligrams, 33 milligrams, and 37.5 milligrams. All formulations were FDCs of ibuprofen and tramadol. The range of IV tramadol doses, 30 to 37.5 milligrams, was chosen to find a dose that might be equivalent to the oral 37.5 milligram dose in terms of drug exposure. Blood samples were collected over time after each dose, and the plasma concentrations of ibuprofen, both R and S enantiomers, tramadol, both enantiomers, and the metabolite M1 were measured. The investigators compared the PK parameters, Cmax, Tmax, AUC, bioavailability, and half-life, between the IV and oral routes and across the different doses. They then monitored all participants for adverse events to assess safety. The results of this study were really fascinating. Ibuprofen behaved similarly between the oral and IV routes because of the 91% oral bioavailability of ibuprofen. The IV ibuprofen obviously had a higher Cmax with a shorter Tmax because the medication is introduced directly into systemic circulation. But the overall exposure over time was very similar, and there was no difference in the half-life. IV tramadol similarly gave higher immediate levels in the bloodstream. The oral version only made it to about 80% of the IV levels because of the first pass effect. But interestingly, the first pass through the liver is where tramadol is metabolized to M1, which is the more active metabolite. This means that oral tramadol produces more M1 than IV tramadol, which bypasses the liver. So when looking only at M1, the Cmax of M1 is lower for IV tramadol, and it takes longer to reach Cmax, denoted by a higher Tmax. This led the authors to conclude that in the case of tramadol, if you would like to switch from oral to IV, you should not reduce the dose. Coming back to Mrs. Bradshaw, the ibuprofen dose would not need to be changed if given IV or orally because of the high oral bioavailability. The oral tramadol that she was taking was metabolized by the liver into a more active form, so changing it to IV in this case makes it less active. So even though, based on an 80% bioavailability, you would expect a slight dose reduction, the doctor should also prescribe the same dose for tramadol. The IV tramadol will also work more gradually than the oral tramadol, which is unusual. The authors concluded that both the oral and IV FDCs are safe to use. This should be viewed in the context that the study had very limited participants, but given that these medications have been used extensively on their own and have been used together on the same prescription orally, they are probably not wrong. This research paves the way for new combination IV-FDC formulations of ibuprofen and tramadol to be produced. Download the PDF to get deeper into how the different doses performed and to see if the medications had any sex-related pharmacokinetic differences. With today's Dose of Journal Club, I'm Christy Clayton. Thanks for listening. Today's episode of Journal Club was written and performed by me, Christy Clayton, with writing support from Brett Beckerman. It was produced by Luis Lopez. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you tomorrow.